This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Kirbet Kiafa was a largely unknown biblical site in Israel up until about 15 years ago, when archaeologists realized it had something to say about the ongoing debate over the importance of the biblical King David and the size of his kingdom. Michael Hazel, professor of Near Eastern Studies and Archaeology at Southern Adventist University, was co-director of the excavation at this site. Kirbet Kiafa overlooks the Elah Valley, where David fought Goliath, and seems to be a defensive fortification to protect the Israelites from the Philistines.
We estimate that between 100,000 and 200,000 tons of stone were used to build those massive fortifications. So this wasn't simply somebody, you know, making a sheep pen for their grazing sheep during the night. When we were excavating the site, everything depends on dating. And so when you have dating issues, you need to look at the pottery typology. We had a huge corpus of material that were on the floors of this Iron Age site. They all dated back to the Iron 2A period. And then we also had a wonderful series of olive pits, which gave us great radiocarbon dates that was sent off to Oxford University to their lab there for dating. And all of this seemed to confirm very clearly to us that we have a site dating back to the 11th, 10th century. There were also seals found. Those seals, all the parallels that we found for those seals were also dating to that time period. So in terms of the dating of the site, in terms of the location right on the border to Philistia, a fortified kind of garrison city, it has all the elements that you have at other urban sites in a smaller scale during this time and even later time period. We believe that we were excavating a very early Judean city from the very earliest part of the Judean monarchy and dating to the time of Saul and David, quite frankly.
Have there been any significant counters to your conclusions about this site, or is that pretty well accepted archaeologically now?
Archaeologically, our dating has been accepted. There have been some scholars who have gone back and forth about the identification of the inhabitants of the city. Some have thought maybe they were Canaanites. Some have thought initially that maybe they were Philistines. Nobody believes that anymore. That's been very clearly demonstrated by the material culture that's at the site. There's also additional evidence that lends credence to the idea that these were Judeans. One of the things that we have after seven seasons of excavation is not a single pig bone at the site, with thousands and thousands of bones that we've excavated and analyzed at the site over those seasons. We've excavated over 25% of the site. Because of the shallow deposition, this is not a tell site like we normally have. This is really only a two-period site. Again, Hellenistic Persian, and then the early Iron Age site. So we don't have all these rebuilding of cities. We can dig fairly quickly down to bedrock and can do that in a very efficient way and careful way at the same time. So we were able to expose a lot of the site. And with the absence of pig bones, with two, what we believe are the earliest Hebrew inscriptions at the site that were found in 2008 and 2012, we believe we have very good evidence. And of course, the geographical location, which is within the territory of what we traditionally would consider Judah, and on the crossroads, you know, from north to south, it's just a very strategic site. We believe we have a Judean city there. And I would say that most archaeologists in the field would agree with us. When we first had a major report on this project in 2009 at the ASOR professional meetings, it was a packed house. It was one of the largest rooms in the hotel there. Everybody there, we had some of the top Israeli archaeologists who direct sites all around us, and they were very favorable. Ron Tappy, who digs at Tel Zayit, and Aaron Meyer, who digs at Tel Esafi, Biblical Gap. They were very clear that this definitely wasn't a Philistine site and that we had a Judean site. And the publications that are coming out now verify that as well.
I remember the previous year, the meetings were held in Boston, and I happened to be there on a different assignment and had coincidentally the opportunity to interview Joseph Garfinkel just as the word was coming out about the excavations at Kirbet Kiafa. That was my first exposure, and it was exciting. So you talk about the monumental architecture and the huge effort that went into building the site, and then it was abandoned. Does an explanation for that fit into the story of King David?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We don't have any real evidence of burnt destruction at the site. We do have a massive amount of material. It's a one period site. We estimate maybe occupied for 50 or 60 years at the most. There's no evidence of any rebuilding or any additional phases of building or floors or anything like that. We just have one destruction there. Who destroyed the site is a big question. I mean, obviously it's on the border to the Philistines. That's a great possibility. We don't know for certain, but we do know that there are two other nearby sites, Sucho, which is right across the valley from us. We conducted a major survey there in 2010, and we've published that in a book as well. Sucho has continued occupation from that same period of the 11th, 10th century, and then moving on through. And of course, Sucho is mentioned also in the narrative in 1 Samuel 17 of the story of David and Goliath. And then we have Azekah, which is currently being excavated by Tel Aviv University. Both of those sites continued to be occupied after the time when Caiaphas was abandoned. We're guessing, perhaps, that those two sites eventually took the place of Caiaphas. We estimate that Caiaphas was destroyed, as I said, right at the beginning of the 10th century, probably somewhere during the reign of David, although it was probably built and occupied earlier, even during the reign of Saul, which would make sense if it is biblical Sha'arayim, as we are suggesting from the biblical text in 1 Samuel 17.
Those who've just joined us, we're talking with Michael Hassel about King David and why he's a controversial figure and what evidence archaeologists have uncovered about him. After your work at Kirbet Kiafa, the excavation team that you and Josef Garfinkel and Sargonor make up moved on to other sites. I think you're focusing, from what I've read, about the state formation process in early Judah. Is that a good description? And so we're talking about David. What other sites are you working on that fit into investigating King David?
Well, we wanted to do a regional project. And, you know, it's not just about one site. It's about what we find in other areas as well, and other sites too. And so we first thought we might excavate across the valley at the site of Sucho. We did an extensive survey there, as I just mentioned, in 2010. We had great results from that in terms of the various phases that we believe were occupied based on the pottery we found on the surface, but we never excavated there. There were some difficulties. Another university applied for a license to excavate the same day we did. And so that caused a little bit of complications. And so we were thinking with ourselves, between Yossi and I, were thinking, where is it possible to go? And we suddenly thought, if we really want to understand the next phase of the process after David, after Saul, we need to go to Lachish. Lachish is just the second most important city in Judah. There's been a lot of question about Solomon's son Rehoboam. In Chronicles, it states that he refortified a number of cities. Lachish is mentioned among those, but none of the previous expeditions had ever found any fortification walls dating to that time period. There were also questions about dating, because remember, the initial question about the 10th century and about the United Monarchy came from the excavations of David Yushishkin at Lachish. So rechecking some of that chronology and trying to find a sequence of dates was very, very significant. And so we began excavating there in 2013 to 2017. And in addition to that, Yossi Garfinkel and Kyle Keimer decided to go and excavate at Kirbet El Rai, another site nearby Lachish that dates to about the same time of Kirbet Caiaphas. And so with these three sites now, we have a really wonderful sequence of carbon dates that we believe solidly reestablish the traditional chronology that most archaeologists have been following for all of these years, for two centuries now, really, in archaeology in this region.
So you've been devoting a lot of effort into this particular focus.
Yes, I think it's important. I think if we think about Israel's history, if you don't have David, you don't have a lot of things. I mean, if you think about that for a moment, without David, there would have been no defeat of Goliath that day. Without David, there would have been no Jerusalem later on. It was David who conquered Jerusalem and made it his capital. Without David, there would have been no Solomon and therefore no temple in Jerusalem for almost 400 years. Without David, there would have been there wouldn't have been the Psalms that we have, 73 of them written or attributed to David, that are still sung in synagogues and churches around the world. And so David is a key figure. David is mentioned more frequently in the Bible, in the Old and New Testaments, than any single person in history, almost 1,000 times, clear through to the very last chapter of Revelation. So David is extremely important. It is through the line of David that the Messiah is promised. And without David, that is all put into question. So it is a very, very significant figure for the history, not only of Israel, but for the history of Christianity and Judaism and everyone who draws their heritage and their identity back to that person.
That's a really good summary. Can you point to anyone else who's doing research in this area that has also illuminated David in a way that you find very helpful?
Well, I think with increasing excavations in this region, we now have a completely different picture than we did 15 years ago. We've got other scholars that are working at Tel Berna. Steve Ortiz is working there. Steve Ortiz has also been excavating. He and I both went to school together, and we've been working together for many years, but he directed excavations at Gezer as well with Sam Wolf. And that's just been a wonderful excavation because Gezer gives us the next step in the process after Caiapha. It was refortified by Solomon, as the Bible describes in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. It is those three sites of Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer that really galvanized the whole chronology of Israel archaeologically early on, with the archaeological work of Yigiel Yadin at Hazor and at Megiddo as well, and then William Deaver's excavations at Gezer. So I think we have now new evidence at Gezer, confirming evidence also at Hazor with Amnon Ben-Tor's excavations there. All of these individuals who have been excavating at the sites themselves argue that we have 10th century gates that are being built. Now, Israel Finkelstein went back to Megiddo and re-excavated there. He didn't re-excavate the gate, but did some other work at Megiddo over the last few years. He'd like to see different dates there. But I think we really have to look at what's happening in Judah. So many of our dates are coming from the north and arguments are coming from the north, but Judah has been largely ignored until just recently. And it's there that we should be looking for these kinds of dating processes and new sites that can give us more insights into this period.
That's a good summary of our information about King David. My thanks to Michael Hazel, Professor of Near Eastern Studies and Archaeology at Southern Adventist University and Director of the Institute of Archaeology there. We'd like to remind our listeners that we have a Biblical Archaeology News Magazine, Artifacts. It has the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. You can find out how to subscribe to Artifacts by going to our website at radioscribe.com. That's radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.